Good morning and welcome to Local Matters Health Matters. Thank you for tuning in with us today. November is COPD Awareness Month, and we're joined today by a special guest, Dr. Mary Lou Fornahead, to talk about this serious but often misunderstood lung disease. Mary Lou, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So to start off, we want you to tell us and our listeners a little bit about your background and your role in respiratory or lung health.
Okay. Well, I'll just begin a little. My grandfather was a physician in White County for many years and took care of people. And while I didn't meet him, I always knew just from all the stories that I wanted to be in medicine some way. And I ended up, though, I went to nursing school, so I'm a Tennessee Tech alum. I graduated.
Wings up.
Yep, wings up. 1986. And then my master's degree came from Vanderbilt, which is where I got everything I needed for my nurse practitioner certification. So I'm an acute care nurse practitioner and began working away from the bedside as a nurse practitioner fairly soon after that. And by 2006, I was working in fairly all the time pulmonary medicine, some outpatient, but mostly pulmonary critical care, so within mm-hmm. the hospital setting. Yeah. And it was all pulmonary critical care. So that's about all I've done since 2006.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a long time. Long, long time. So and now I'm working in an outpatient clinic. I work for Dr. Rupin and Dr. Kona a day a week as my clinic practice. I'm also faculty at Tennessee Tech with Emily and Jennifer, so we all work together. And so, yeah. So
we're glad to have you there as well. I do remember, I think, when you worked at the hospital, that's probably where I first met you. Before Tennessee Tech.
Yeah.
So
I was at the hospital working full time while I finished my PhD. As I started that, and then I came to work at Tech and was PRN at the hospital, but still worked quite a bit in pulm critical care.
So you did. Especially during COVID.
Yeah. COVID was bad.
Yeah, it was super bad. Have an extensive background in critical care and pulmonary care. So for those who may not be familiar.
Yeah.
What does COPD stand for?
Okay.
And what does it mean in terms of how it affects someone's daily life?
So COPD is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And that's an umbrella term for either emphysema or chronic bronchitis. Or sometimes folks can have both. But it's kind of an overarching term that we use to describe someone who does not have a problem taking a breath in, but the obstructive piece is blowing air out.
Mm-hmm.
And when you cannot adequately exhale or blow your air out, you're more short of breath throughout mm-hmm. the day, which means that you cannot be as active as you'd like to be because mm-hmm. you're stopping all the time to catch your wind. Some of these folks are oxygen dependent, so you have to, you have to carry around your oxygen. They cough a lot. They cough up a lot of sputum, mm-hmm. So they're constantly hacking, coughing stuff up. So they tend to kind of shy away from places when they're going to be doing all of that.
Yeah.
They get frequent infections, so pulmonary or lung infections. They can end up in the hospital with pneumonias a lot throughout the year, especially this time of year when we have flu and COVID and RSV and all these other things. And then there's head, neck, and lung cancers that these people have. I mean, smoking is absolutely the leading cause of lung cancer,
mm-hmm.
but head and neck cancers are also part of that. So, yeah, so it's really directly can very much directly impact them and their family.
Yeah.
It's not just an individual disease. It's a family
Correct.
Disease for sure.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it is, and you said chronic obstructive. Chronic meaning, it lasts a long time and obviously usually progresses.
Yes, it's a problem where your lung function never really returns to normal
mm-hmm.
and it does tend to worsen, especially if you continue to smoke.
Right.
Or you are and we'll talk probably in a second about, what kind of what environment you have to be in that can start this process. But if you continue to stay in that environment, obviously it's going to worsen.
Yeah.
And age worsens, you know,
right.
COPD.
Yeah, so, your lung capacity changes.
Your lung capacity changes. But your lung capacity never goes back to normal. And we're not talking about asthma, but asthma is a reversible problem where mm-hmm. you can be obstructed, but then you do what you need to do and your lung function returns to normal. So as long as you do what you need to do, your asthma is reversible. But COPD is different from that.
Yeah. It is, yes. Yeah. And you kind of alluded to this already, but what are some of the most common causes or risk factors mm-hmm. that contribute to developing COPD?
Well, smoking is going to be number one.
Yep. I think we talk about smoking probably every week.
Yeah, as much as no one wants to admit to that. E-cigarettes and vaping, another big one now.
Yeah.
Secondhand smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're living with someone who smokes around you, that's definitely a risk factor. We are seeing more and more lung cancers in people who never physically smoked but had significant secondhand smoke exposure.
Yep.
Genetics. There is a genetic component that can lead to fairly rapid decline in pulmonary function. It's called alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you do not have alpha-1 antitrypsin, then you lose that protective benefit and your COPD can worsen rather quickly.
Yeah. Now, how many people would you say, I mean, just roundabout, like what's your percentages of people that have COPD that have that alpha-trypsin?
So I wouldn't know that number off the top of my head, but I will say in our pulmonary practice, we test a lot of people for alpha-1 antitrypsin.
Yeah.
And if we tested, say, 50 people a week, if you did that, you might have one.
Yeah.
That's
what I was thinking.
But you think about it's not just so much for that person because we can there are some treatments for that and they're not necessarily mm-hmm. very good. But what you want to know is genetically down the road, do your children have alpha-1 antitrypsin?
Yep.
Because if they do, they need to never smoke.
Right.
Absolutely. And avoid some of these other things. So smoking is a big one. But, you know, if you're in a workplace, and we're really lucky in Tennessee, we don't have air pollution.
Mm-hmm.
But there are places in this country and in the world where they do have significant air pollution. And that certainly can contribute to that. And then just getting older.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, unfortunately, as my dad used to say, it beats the alternative. But if you live long enough, you're going to get older, and you do lose capacity as you get older. So those are the biggies. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So many people associate COPD only with smoking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you've kind of alluded that's not the full picture, and there's other contributing factors. So besides smoking, air pollution, and the alpha antitrypsin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else that really contributes to development?
Well, something that we didn't talk about, which can certainly happen, if you already have COPD, especially, well, any chronic bronchitis or emphysema, these repeated infections, especially that chronic bronchitis patients have, they make a lot of mucus.
Yeah.
You know, bugs and viruses love dark, warm, moist places.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it is. And so they stay sick a lot.
Yeah.
And the more you're infected and especially hospitalized with those infections, not only do you usually lose some lung function,
mm-hmm.
but just from the standpoint of feeling well and getting up and moving around, you lose a lot of conditioning when you're hospitalized for things like that. And so that affects, you know, and we'll talk in a minute about what to do to help that. But some of what helps people to not be so short of breath and do things is staying conditioned.
Yeah.
Pulmonary rehab, exercising, walking, doing those things. And when you're hospitalized and you lose a lot of your conditioning, that certainly can make COPD worse.
Yeah, and it takes a long time to get back to even where they were
and,
before hospitalization.
And a lot of them don't ever get back, you know, to where they were. And now we see a lot of folks trying to stop smoking and switching to e-cigarettes and vaping. And, I don't know what to say about that other than I can tell you the American Lung Association and our global initiative for lung disease, which kind of guides the practice in mm-hmm. the pulmonary world, will say, do not vape or e-cigarette.
Right.
I mean, that's not good for you either.
Right.
So it's kind of, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. But a lot of folks do switch, and there is a real risk to developing and extending your problem with COPD if you e-cigarette or vape. So
in Tennessee, how common is COPD?
So I looked at the last data that I could find from the CDC for adults, and that's 18 years and up. The incidence of COPD in the United States is 3.8%, and that's been pretty steady. Fewer people smoke. I mean, the incidence of lung cancer, you can look, and there are other causes of lung cancer besides smoking, but if you look at the incidence of lung cancer, it has diminished somewhat for both men and women over the years, which means that the incidence of smoking is definitely decreasing. So about 3.8% in the United States. In Tennessee, it's about 10.4%. So I looked to see, because it's
where we are.
And the CDC said that we're among the states with the highest rate of COPD. The other two states ahead of us are Arkansas and West Virginia, and they're at around 18 and 21% respectively. So, and I will say those are all three are super high tobacco growing states.
Yep.
And we're number three.
All in the Southeast.
All in the Southeast, yeah, exactly.
All right. More when we come back.
Okay.
Welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. We're here with Dr. Mary Lou Fornahead, and it's time to talk a little bit more about COPD, and we're talking about COPD Awareness Month in November. But we talked about, some of the risk factors and causes, but what are some of the early warning signs or symptoms that people should never ignore, Mary Lou?
Okay, so I would say if you have any of the risk factors that we talked about earlier, for sure, if you're having frequent cough, cough every day that you really can't attribute to, a bad cold or something like that, and especially a cough that produces mucus, especially mm-hmm. in the mornings when you get up. That's when most people's, after they've been laying still, they get up, they start moving around. If they smoke, they smoke a cigarette, they drink a cup of coffee, and they start coughing.
Yep.
So if they're coughing and coughing stuff up, for sure. If you are wheezing, you can audibly hear yourself making a whistling noise. Wheeze is a sound that we hear when air is passing through something that is narrowed, whether mm-hmm. it's with mucus or whether the airways are tight, whatever. But if you are constantly wheezing, whether you're coughing or not, then that certainly is time to not ignore that and see at least your family doctor to begin with.
Yeah.
Chest tightness is another one. Of course, if we go back to coughing up sputum, bloody sputum for sure.
Yeah.
It's always a big thing. And being super short of breath.
Yeah.
So, cough, sputum, bloody sputum, shortness of breath, mm-hmm. Especially if you're trying, you could go to your mailbox and not be winded. And all of a sudden, you're having to make two or three stops. And that can be other things, too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But if you have these risk factors and you're doing that, I can promise you it's nothing good, even if it's not COPD.
And you could be something else.
It could be something else.
Right.
And so you definitely, that's not normal.
Yeah.
I think
that's what a lot of people notice, don't you think, is the shortness of breath, besides a cough.
Yeah.
Especially for those chronic bronchitis people.
Yeah.
But, I think of you and your spouse are going. And, if you park far away, you're getting mm-hmm. more winded going trying to walk up a flight of stairs, some of those normal activities of daily life, and then you're getting
Well, and I will tell you something super common that I see all the time is that people when they're still smoking or they're still in these environments, what they do is they adapt and compensate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So where they, if they can't bend over and tie their shoes anymore because it cuts their air, you know, they go to the Skechers store and buy the slip-ons, you know.
Right.
They adapt and
right.
change and move through that until all of a sudden there are no adaptive mechanisms left and they have
right.
to do that. So they typically show up and they've been having problems for quite some time before they finally decide, you know, to seek out somebody, you know, that can maybe help them out. So, and then the other time that I see people who really notice a difference, these adapters get sick. Get a pneumonia, they end up in the hospital. They're very deconditioned, and they come out, and they cannot go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
without being super
so short
winded.
Breath. Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, my gosh, what in the world has happened? And so those are the two things I see. Either they adapt, and wait and wait and wait, or they get sick.
Right.
And those are the two biggies that kind of get somebody into
okay.
the office.
And
I
so
see.
Then once they come in and they're diagnosed,
yep.
what treatment options or management strategies are out there that helps people with COPD?
Well, you know, the first thing that nobody wants to hear is you have to stop the offender.
Right.
you know, you need to quit smoking. You need to quit your e-cigarettes. You need to quit vaping. You need to smoking marijuana. You know, we haven't talked, but
yeah.
smoking anything.
Right.
you need
yes.
to stop smoking, inhaling irritants into your chest. If you're in a workplace where things are super nasty, that needs to go. But then once, you know, whether you stop that or whether you don't, we do talk about a lot of things. First thing is stop infections. You need to get your vaccinations. I mean,
right. Which one specifically you think that's most important for, like right now?
right now is flu.
Yeah.
You should be up to date on your pneumococcal, on your pneumonia vaccines. We have several to pick from now.
Mm-hmm.
And your family doctor, your pulmonologist, whoever can help you with that, whatever provider can help you with the pneumonia vaccine. But flu, especially, RSV.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're having some RSV in adults. It's bad. Be up to date on your Tdap, pertussis,
yeah,
whooping
pertussis.
Cough. It's bad. You've got, you know, a little baby at your house. They've probably asked you to get your pertussis vaccine
right.
because they have not been vaccinated yet. I always say you need a COVID vaccine,
mm-hmm.
but there's lots of resistance to that.
Yeah.
But you don't want a pulmonary a lung infection, and if you can avoid it, those are the big ones.
Yeah.
We usually test people for the need for oxygen many times.
Yeah.
They're super high, super low on oxygen, especially at night, because at night when we lay down, our number of breaths decrease
yeah.
because, you know, we're asleep, and we don't take as big a deep breath. And so if you're going to have low oxygen, it'll be at night. So we do test people for the need for oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Many of those people have bad sleep apnea too, on top of that, just from a pulmonary standpoint. But yeah, so we, you know, if you need oxygen, we need to wear it. And then we have lots of inhalers now that are gold therapy, standard therapy
yeah.
now to decrease inflammation, stop some of the mucus production, and give you good bronchodilation. So make your airways just as big
open.
As you can and
yeah.
open as you can and get rid of the mucus, the things that are making you wheeze and obstruct, to get rid of those.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's trial and error. So we do have good medicines. Obviously, stay healthy. If you can stop smoking, pulmonary rehab is something we talk a lot about
yeah.
because activity is really the one thing. Keeping your legs and arms strong help you with the shortness of breath significantly. It will change your life.
Is there somewhere they go for that in particular for
well,
pulmonary rehab?
There is. We have a good pulmonary rehab unit in both Crossville and here in Cookeville.
Okay.
The pulmonary rehab facility here in Cookeville is with Cardiac Rehab at
okay.
Tennessee Heart. I'm not exactly sure where the one is in Crossville. I believe it's in the hospital.
Okay.
It's based in the hospital. But the folks that we see that go to that one like it a lot, too. It's,
okay.
It feels so counterintuitive to do that to people who literally cannot walk, you know, 25 feet
yeah.
to get on a treadmill or a recumbent bicycle or something and walk. It feels very, and they right. really don't want to do that. But I've never had a patient who did pulmonary rehab who came back and said, that didn't work, that was awful, 100%. It's, oh my gosh, that was life-changing.
Very beneficial.
Very beneficial, yeah.
Okay, well, that's very helpful. When we come back, we're going to talk about myth versus truth.
Woohoo!
I just thought we would welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. We're back with Dr. Mary Lou Fornahead, and we're talking COPD awareness today. And the next segment that we really want to get into is Jennifer Mabry's favorite, but it's the myth versus truth
okay.
session.
I love these.
So things that we commonly hear in the mm-hmm. public or, you know, in primary care.
These are the things I talk about all day long
yes,
when
yes.
I see patients.
Yes, because you see so much stuff.
I'm just constantly stamping out the myths.
All right, so I'm going to throw out a common statement.
Okay.
And Mary Lou, you tell us whether it's myth or truth.
Okay, we're on it.
All right, so the first one that you hear a lot is COPD only affects older adults.
Myth. So while it is true, we just said that as you get older, of course, you do develop some obstructive problems. You can have COPD in your 20s, 30s, 40s, especially if you have a genetic predisposition.
Yeah.
So if you have an alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency and you are smoking, you can find yourself with end-stage COPD in your 30s.
Yep.
And the truth of the matter is none of us really know what the trigger is.
Right.
I mean, I have seen patients who have smoked their whole life, a heavy smoker, like a 100-pack-year tobacco use
yeah.
history, are in their late 80s and have mild COPD.
Right.
Okay? Or I've seen people in their 40s
yep.
who have smoked, you know, a few cigarettes, half a pack of cigarettes a day, have some other issues, and have no genetic predisposition and have stage 3 or stage 4
yeah.
COPD.
Yeah.
So while I would say, yes, the older you get, the more likely it is,
right.
I see lots and lots of people
younger.
Under the age of 50.
Yeah. And many of those probably undiagnosed.
Many undiagnosed. So,
okay.
Yeah, so that is a myth.
Myth. Okay, so the next one. If you quit smoking, it's too late. The damage is already done.
Myth. Yes. So it's never too late.
Yep.
It is never too late. Because we did talk about one of the issues with smoking, of course, is the risk of lung cancer.
Yeah.
And when you quit smoking, if you can stay quit for 10 years, that dramatically, like you are nearly back to the risk factor of a non-smoker if you can stay quit for 10 years.
Yeah.
It certainly slows the progression
yes.
of your COPD. Remember what we said, you know, the first thing that you do to try and treat someone's COPD is please stop.
Right.
So if you stop, then it will at least slow it down
yeah.
significantly. It's never too late, especially when it comes to the risk of cancers.
Yeah.
I speak. That is super, super true.
Okay, good. All right, so the next one, using oxygen means your COPD is at its worst stage.
Myth. So the when you need oxygen, and I see people who need oxygen at every stage, what it means is that your body is not getting enough oxygen. So your heart's not getting enough oxygen. Your brain is not getting enough oxygen. And that is a lot of times it's at night. We see a lot of nighttime stuff. Wearing your oxygen helps you to stay healthier longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes your brain happy. It makes your heart happy. It makes your kidneys happy. It makes your whole body happy. It makes your blood happy. And so... Absolutely not. And one thing I will also say is that if you need oxygen and you still smoke, never, ever, ever smoke with your oxygen.
Right.
It will blow your face off.
Yeah.
So
highly combustible.
Highly combustible. So So I want to say that while we're talking about oxygen, because I really do talk about that a lot with patients. But no, it does not mean you're at your worst stage. It only means that for whatever reason, you are not moving oxygen out into your body well because of your COPD. But it can be at a lot of different stages.
Okay.
And if you need it, you need it.
That's right.
It's just like anything else.
It's going to help the rest of your body.
It's going to help the rest of your body. So, yeah.
Well, that was a very helpful myth versus truth. So I have some more questions and more, you know, thinking of community and getting people in the community involved. What key message do you want, Mary Lou, people to take away this year about COPD awareness?
So know the signs. We've talked about that.
Yep.
You know, if you're having more shortness of breath than you did, you know, talk to your provider. If you're coughing up stuff every day, talk to your provider. For heaven's sakes, if you are coughing up blood, talk to your provider for sure. Quit smoking.
Yep.
You know, I have never smoked. So when I talk to patients about that, we talk a lot about that. It would be like asking me to have not had that little Snickers candy bar before I came here.
Right. Absolutely.
And so, sort of anyway. I mean, and I know that it's super hard, but there are lots of mechanisms in place to help people stop smoking if they're ready to stop smoking.
That's what I was going to ask you next.
You know, we use some medications, Wellbutrin, Chantix, nicotine patches. Some of that's covered by insurance. Some of it is not. But if you can quit smoking, or if you are around significant secondhand smoke, you know, I would say at least be good to your family and go outside and smoke.
Correct.
You know, don't expose your family to your cigarette smoke. Know that medications and inhalers really do work.
Yeah.
We can make you feel better. Oxygen, and that includes oxygen, we can make you feel better. Stay active. Keep moving. Get your vaccinations, whatever you believe in. Even one is better than none. But your primary care provider, your pulmonologist, whoever that is, they can all help you with that. And they want to do that. So then that reduces infections. It reduces your time in the hospital and makes you better all the way around. And just know that, I mean, I obviously work for a pulmonary clinic. We spend 99% of our day supporting patients any way we can with whatever we can help you with. And that's what it's all about. And there are lots of primary care providers who do that as well.
Yeah.
They can always send patients to pulmonary and whoever that is.
Right.
So those are kind of the key things is, you know when you need to. I always laugh and say, you know, know when to fold them, know when to hold them, and know when to walk away, and just take care of it. You know, don't just keep pretending like it's not there.
That's what I was going to say. That's one of the takeaways that I've gotten from our discussion is, you know, don't be in denial. Don't be trying to compensate.
Correct.
Go get it taken care of and get your treatment now so that you can have a better quality of
exactly.
life.
Exactly. Absolutely. I mean, you know, so that you... you know, live to be old. I mean, we see a lot of very old patients with COPD who do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, they get all of their screenings. They get their vaccinations. They take their medicine. They try and stay well, stay healthy. Mm-hmm. They do what they need to do. And, you know, they're playing golf.
Yeah. They're still have a good quality
of
life. You
know, they're traveling. They have a really good quality of life. And that's what we like to see.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, thinking of listeners who have heard this, and they're like, oh, maybe I have some of those signs and symptoms, or maybe my mother has some of those signs and symptoms.
Yeah.
Maybe they've noticed this persistent cough, or they are more short of breath or winded. Where should they start?
Well, I always say, you know, start with your primary care. And if you don't have a primary care, it's time to establish with someone. With a provider of some sort and talk to them about that. They're very well versed in, you know, the first things to do about that. But if it's something that's beyond their scope, there is plenty of pulmonologists around right. here. I mean, I love our whole pulmonary service in this county, but I'm very partial to the two pulmonologists I work for, but any of them are happy to see yeah. and are happy to take referrals to because you need spirometry. We didn't even talk about how to diagnose COPD, but that involves a pulmonary function test mm-hmm. where you have to blow, and you inhale and exhale, and we get a lot of numbers and a lot of readings mm-hmm. that tell us a lot of things. Most primary care doctors don't have that in their office,
right.
and that is gold standard. That is the standard to diagnose COPD, so you need a pulmonary function test, but they also do them at the hospitals, so you can send your person
right.
there. So you need PFT, and if that's beyond their scope, you know, just send them to pulmonary, and
yeah.
we'll make sure that they get the screenings they need and the medicines they need and
yeah.
get a diagnosis. And so start with your they're your hub. Your primary
that's right.
care is your hub.
Yep.
And they see to it that you need to be where you need to be.
Yeah,
and I don't think
there.
Anyone
yep.
would ever say, no, you can't go to a pulmonologist. You can't
no.
do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody would ever
no.
do that. If you wanted to do that.
Yep.
And I know that I don't know of a pulmonologist or a pulmonary provider who would not be happy to see somebody.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
So one kind of final question for you. So if you could leave our audience, our listeners in the Upper Cumberland, with one piece of advice about protecting their lung health,
mm-hmm.
what would that advice be?
Never, never, never start smoking or vaping.
How do I know that's what you're going to say?
Just don't start. I mean, just don't
yep.
ever start. And of course, if you do that, stop. But
yep.
just don't start.
That's what I was going to say. Even if you already do.
Yep. Yep.
And like
yep.
you said, there's medicines, there's
yep.
patches.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to quit, there is help out there.
There is.
There's a quit, you know, a helpline.
Oh, yes. The American Lung Association has. If you go to the American Lung Association website, they have a plethora. They have more information than you could ever want
yeah.
as far as stopping smoking and resources that that would be very helpful. Just don't ever
yeah.
start because you don't know
how addictive
it is. I mean, the nicotine factor and all of that. You just don't
yeah.
know. If you pick it up and it sounds cool and you want to do that.
Right. And then you're also, like you mentioned, you're affecting those around you too. Those
sure
riding in your car, if you're smoking in your car, those
yep.
in your home, if you're smoking.
Yep.
And secondhand smoke can also affect our family members.
Well, it does. We do see people with lung cancers who've had nothing but secondhand smoke exposure.
Yep.
Yep. So,
Mary Lou, thank you so much for joining us today and for all the work that you do to promote lung health in our community right here in the Upper Cumberland. And to our listeners, if you'd like to learn more, there's lots of resources out there from the American Lung Association. Thanks for tuning in to Local Matters, Health Matters.